G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 359 of ErkPod. Coming to you today from the Erkmobile, I'm on my way to the sleep doctor. It's Thursday, I think it's the 5th of April, something like that. Dates are pretty meaningless for me at the moment. I just need to know what day of the week it is so I know what shows to work on. In case you're a new listener, welcome. I am a train driver here in Sydney who's currently not been train driving since November last year due to a severe case of sleep apnea. I've been on a CPAP machine for the last 2 months and overall I'm feeling great. Apologies in advance for my voice because I have the man flu. Some people might say that actually proves my voice. I know it certainly did the other day on Erk FM International. You might remember the Canberra episode, the last episode, episode 358 from the Canberra airport. I know I got some immediate feedback from Ian from Canada, who told me that he really enjoyed that show. More about Ian from Canada in a moment. I've got an ambulance behind me. Move over, dickhead, there's an ambulance behind you. He's got his lights off and he hasn't got his siren on yet, so the guy probably can't even hear him. I only seen him because I looked at my rearview mirror. So I'm going to give this bloke some room in front just in case he needs it. Thank you. He's coming up to an intersection, so he's trying to find his way through. So, yes, more on Ian from Canada in a moment and the Canberra special. I think I got sick because of that trip. So I've had what I've been calling the man flu. Well, hey, every woman in the world would call this the man flu. She'd probably say, dude, you're not sick. So yeah, I've been congested for the last few days. I actually didn't go to Big Red Fire Truck Control the other day. I'm also a volunteer with the New South Wales Rural Fire Service and Communications, and I was just not in a fit state to do that, so I went sick on a volunteer job basically because I had no choice. Anywho, I'm on my way to the sleep specialist. I last saw him in February when he told me, hey dude, you need the machine and this is what your pressure should be at. And so I've been on it for 2 months now. I've only missed 3 nights because one night the mask was just that uncomfortable, so I got the mask changed the next day. And then I, with the first couple of days of the man flu, my nose was running like constantly, so I thought I didn't want the mask because it covers my nose and my mouth. I didn't want the mask to directly funnel the contents of my nose into my mouth and then onto my lungs. I didn't want that, so... But apart from that, I've had some great sleep, let me tell you, and I feel a lot better for it. Like, I didn't know I had a problem, but, you know, you can't argue with science. Science is in. And I know the couple of nights where I wasn't on the Sleepalyzer 5000, as I'm calling it, wasn't as good. So I saw the guy in February to say, hey, dude, you need a machine. This is what pressure you need, because everyone's got different requirements. And he was supposed to send a report to my place of employment to say, hey, this is what's going on, he needs a machine, blah, 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 this is how long we think that he'll be unfit for duty for. But he didn't send that report. I got a phone call a week or so ago asking me, hey, dude, where's the medical reports? And I'm like, well, I didn't write it. You know, I don't know where the report is. I went and saw the guy. He said he was doing the report. He obviously hasn't. Or if he has, it's got lost in the system somewhere. And I've booked it myself to see him in April after 2 months. Because he wasn't taking patients in March. Like, he took all of January off. I had my second sleep study done in the end of December. He took all of January off. Now he was back for February. Now he's off for all of March. Now it's April. So the first week in April was the first time that I could actually see him up until that point. So we'll see what happens. Now I'm no sleep doctor. But I do know how to get the information off the machine, and it tells me what happens with my sleep during the night, you know, how long I'm wearing it for, you know, is the thing actually turned on, interruptions per hour, that sort of thing, and the flow rates, you know, the seal on the mask and all of that sort of stuff. You know, they could tell, have I just got the machine on or not, or is it on but not on my face, all of this sort of stuff, you know, am I getting an adequate seal on the mask? And, you know, I've even been able to keep some of my facial hair, which is a little bit of a surprise, because normally they say, oh, if you need some sort of mask, like a sleep apnea mask or a breathing apparatus mask, if you're a firefighter, you've got to stay clean shaven. Now, I'm not exactly clean shaven, but I'm not as hairy as I have been. And I've been keeping a good seal on the mask every night, so that's good. So we'll guess very shortly, we'll find out exactly what his prognosis is. Now, this guy is very difficult to get a straight answer out of. I was sent to him because of my work medical, and I answered the sleep questionnaire honestly, and they go, oh, you know, you're a risk factor for sleep apnea. Yeah, I'm a shift worker, go figure. You know, if I work for 12 days straight and if I go to sleep on the 13th day at lunchtime, who cares? You know, I'm on days off, what I do is my business, as long as it doesn't affect the job. And to this point, that hasn't affected my job, so, but then again, the science is in, you can't lie, in the morning at the end of the day, I have a disorder now, so, because I was sent to him, because of my place of employment, and because of the circumstances that happened when I was sent to him originally, when I was supposed to be going on my Europe trip last year, and they booked me in to see a guy while I was actually supposed to be in Japan, and I'm like, no, I can't make that appointment, I'll be in Japan, I'll be having a good time, I can't make it. And so instead of seeing a guy in at Rudy Hill, about 20 minutes, not even that away from my house, I have to double the distance now and go and see this guy at Bankstown. Now, when it comes down to me saying to him, you know, how long am I going to be not working for? What levels am I aiming at before they'll let me back and drive a train? He doesn't want to tell me. He just says, oh, well, that's not my decision. That's for your employer to make. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, dude, seriously? Like, you've never dealt with another train driver before? You know, there's something like 1,500 of us. I do know that there are other train drivers who were diagnosed with sleep apnea and they did get treatment and they're back driving trains. And that's what I'm hoping for. You know, as much as I love podcasting and the new media and the music and all of that sort of stuff, I do love driving trains. I've been employed with my employer for 18 years. I'm actually creeping up to my 7th year of being a driver because I graduated April 2005. So I'm coming up to 7 years, but this is not the way that I wanted to get my 7th year anniversary up at home because I've got sleep apnea. Now, I've been very lucky, actually, that I managed to stay at home the entire time and get paid as if I was actually at work. In a lot of industries, of course, that wouldn't happen, but having said that, in a lot of normal industries like office jobs and all that sort of stuff, if you have sleep apnea, that's not an issue. Basically, just as long as you're not falling asleep at your desk, that's not an issue, but obviously for my job, it's very important for me not to be falling asleep behind the controls of a train. And having said that, there's various safety systems which mitigate that risk, even if it was to happen. There's more risk of me driving my car now as I'm talking to you. My fitness to drive a car has never been questioned, has never been stated. And I know of people who have had a lot worse sleep apnea than I have. It's treatable, it's under control in one case, very out of control in another case, but that person doesn't help himself. So we'll just wait and see what happens. Now, I mentioned a bit earlier that it is the Thursday before the Easter long weekend. And so some people, they have like a 4-day week this week, they have a 4-day week next week, just depending, of course, on what sector you're in. Retail, not necessarily as lucky. But, you know, I'm at home, so it doesn't matter. They could have, by the way, called me in to do some office work or whatever, but they had nothing for me to do. They haven't found me anything, so I'm quite happy to sit at home, go out every weekend. It's been great from that respect, and more on that in a minute. But because it's the Easter long weekend, we have this thing here in New South Wales called double demerit points. Now, when you're driving along the road and you do various things, commit various offences, they've all got a points level attached to them. For instance, if you don't stop at a stop sign and you get busted by the cops, you know, there's so many points off your licence, or, you know, not giving way properly, or whatever. Speeding, not having a seatbelt. All those sort of things, they have various levels of demerit points activated to them. And you're allowed, I think they've actually increased it to 13 points now that you're allowed in a 3-year period. So when you commit an offence, you lose points. And then what happens is, the 3 years starts from your first offence. And then if you keep your nose clean over those next three years, well, you get the points back and you get a clean licence back again. Of course, if you go over your 13 points for a fully licensed driver, you lose your licence, you get disqualified or suspended. And then if you continue to drive after that, well, that becomes a criminal matter. Oh, this is just basic sort of stuff. You know, I'm no lawyer. I've got 4 points on my license, and I think it's June or July. I think it's June, the end of June, early July. If I keep my nose clean, I go back to having a clean license again after I lost 4 points for speeding through a school zone. And the school zone kicked in at 2:30. I thought it was like 2:28. And no school kids around. It was a major road, 70 kilometres an hour normally. The speed limit is 70 kilometres an hour. The school zone limit is 40 kilometres an hour between 8 a.m. and 8 a.m. and 9:30 in the morning. Don't have to worry about that one. And 2:30 and 4 o'clock. So I got busted on a fixed speed camera at 2:32 in the afternoon, 2 minutes after the zone kicked in. It was a high school, nobody around, and that cost me 4 points. So keep my nose clean for another couple of months, I go back to having my full 13 points again. This weekend, what they're doing because of extra traffic on the road, because of the Easter holidays, people are going to the country, etc., is that they are having a double demerits weekend for seatbelt offences, speeding and helmet offences for motorcycle riders. And so there's a lot more, there should be a lot more police out on the road, highway patrol, all that sort of stuff. And now that they're not actually attaching the highway patrol to the local areas, the highway patrol section is a lot more mobile than it used to be. And so it's a lot easier for them now, and it's going to get easier for them to move the highway patrol officers around between the areas and do operations and all of that sort of stuff. But in actual fact, I think in one way, you know, it might help people to, you know, slow down, do what they should be doing on the roads, all that sort of thing. But in another way, it's also a crock of shit, because let's face it, the vast majority of people here in Sydney, for instance, probably aren't going away. They're probably not leaving Sydney Metro, as an example. A lot of them are doing their normal everyday thing that they do every day. Today being Thursday, it's a work day. And so people going to and from work today, if they get caught, they're getting treated exactly the same as if they were the person who was going up to Byron Bay and hugging some trees on holidays. You know, totally different kettle of fish altogether. Now, I know you can't say, oh, it's a, you know, one rule if you're going to work and one rule if you're going on holidays. I know that's pretty hard to enforce. But it's not fair to the average person who's just going on about their daily business. You know, sure, they shouldn't probably be speeding every day anyway. But why is today, especially, say, this morning, any different to any other day? I know they're including today because, you know, you have to start sometime. And there's a lot of people this afternoon on Thursday who are treating this day as a Friday. And as soon as they finish work this afternoon, they'll be off in their cars and going away to wherever it is that they're going to. And so this will basically apply until midnight on Monday, because you've got Good Friday, Easter Saturday, Easter Sunday, Easter Monday, with people going back to work on Tuesday. So I expect that there'll be, especially this afternoon and every evening of the break, this is probably the only time that I'll be driving through the Easter long weekend. I can understand why they're doing it, but, you know, it's, and of course people say, well, if you don't speed or do whatever, you won't have a problem. But, you know, it's just a thing of our society these days that, you know, we have all these campaigns and all these memes and everything like that, and if they if they help to reduce the road toll, why not? But then again, another school of thought, and there's lots of different schools of thoughts I've got on the issue, you could say, well, shouldn't the rules be tighter and the rules be harder and the penalties increased anyway? Because overall, what's the difference? If I speed and if I'm in a crash with someone, or if I, run off the road and hit a tree or whatever, it doesn't matter if it's today, yesterday, or on Friday. It's going to be pretty much the same result. So yeah, lots of different schools of thought on it. Now to change tack entirely, because I'm probably about 15 minutes away from the sleep clinic. Oh, it looks like there's an industrial fire somewhere over in the Ramble, Bankstown sort of area where I'm heading. This will be interesting. A big thank you to Ian from Canada. Now, as has been well documented, I have had problems with my hosting service when they cut me off, and they cut a lot of other audio podcasters off. And so, pardon me, what I was going to do... Oh, it's not a fire at all. It's coming out of the... it's coming out of the oil refinery at Clyde. That smoke's very... There's a lot of... A lot of waste coming out of the funnels at the oil refinery, and the way that the smoke was located in relation to where I was thinking it was a factory on fire somewhere, but it's the oil refinery, situation normal. So I was going to go with Blueberry, who they handle the back end of my WordPress. And I was going to get them to host the podcast as well, do the podcast audio. And then I thought, it's $80 a month, which if I could get out of paying $80 a month, I will. And my storage was going to be severely restricted compared to the number of episodes that I have out. So I decided to go with Amazon S3, and what that is, they call it a simple storage solution. And so I've got all my audio files, the podcast episodes, on the Amazon service, and so far I've had bills of like $6 or $7 a month. So I've done a lot of saving there. I've done a lot of saving there. Oh, does this mean that we can actually go 90 here now? They've removed finished the roadwork finally at the toll spot, the old toll by the looks of it. There's no signs here anymore that say 60. Booyah! I'm just passing through the old toll gates, or what were the old toll gates in orbit on the M4. And they've removed the tolls, they've taken all the infrastructure away, and they've straightened the road, three lanes each way, and they've removed the roadwork speed limit. Awesome! So what I've been doing, and I'm still in the process of doing, is changing show notes on the website, and also putting old episodes up on the new host. But Ian from Canada was the only one that reported that things were running for him very, very slowly. He was used to fast speeds with my previous podcast host, Livia. And so that was cool, but he noticed a big reduction when I went with Amazon. And mind you, considering the people that listen to this show and the various music shows, he was the only one that said that I had a problem. I was doing some searching around Amazon last week, and I'm thinking there has to be a solution to why things are going so slow. And I found that solution, and what that solution basically is that I had to activate another Amazon service called CloudFront. And what that allows me to do, now I'll use Ian as the example because he's the best example. I upload the MP3 files, like the file that you're listening to now, I upload that to an Amazon server in Singapore, because I'm here in Australia and Singapore's the closest hub that Amazon have. And so every time that someone downloads an episode, they send the request from their server, wherever they happen to be in the world, to Amazon in Singapore, because that's where it's hosted. Now, for people in the Asia Pacific region, that's not too bad. So for other people here in Sydney, for instance, they didn't notice a problem because, like me, I was going through the closest hub, which is Singapore. But with people like Ian from Canada, it didn't matter that he was in Canada. He was still getting the files from Singapore. And so there's a big difference, obviously, in distance-wise for him between Singapore and, say, the US. But now I've activated CloudFront, and I'm in the process of working on the show notes again. Every new episode now, Ian can download a file, and it will go to his nearest Amazon hub, which I think would be in New York or New Jersey. And so instead of the files coming to him from Singapore, they're coming to him from the US. And so he's noticed that things are greatly improved. And so thank you to Ian for pointing all that out. Listening to now is, and what has been on in the background, is not another sequel, just another prequel's debut album, the Trilogy Volume 4. Now, of course, you do have to wonder why they call it the Trilogy Volume 4 if there's only one album, but then again, that's not another sequel, just another prequel for you. Probably the band with the longest name in the Sydney music scene, often abbreviated to MazJap. What I'm actually going to do is I'm actually going to go back to track one. Well, that was quite interesting. I wish I had been paying a bit of attention to that a bit earlier. What happened was there was a blue ute, or what the Americans would call a pickup, and he's very—he's basically cut a semi-trailer off. And so while they've been stopped at the traffic lights, and the guy at the pickups greatly reduced the stopping distance of the semi, so they've had some rather interesting words right next to me. But I had the window up, so I didn't hear most of them. But yeah, that's how road rage starts, folks, quite easily. And I can understand why the truck driver would be so pissed. Now, if the both cars hadn't been moving still, it wouldn't have been a drama because, you know, there's no braking distance involved. The car would have just kept going and the truck would have kept going. It would have been fine. But because the lights changed, the pickup had to brake to stop at the lights. And in doing that, he greatly shortened the stopping distance of the truck. And so some words were going backwards and forwards. Neither driver left their car. You know, the lights changed pretty quickly, but, you know, that sort of thing has happened. So, NASJAP, not another sequel, just another prequel that's on in the background here, and whose songs I've had on in the background for this episode, and they started the episode, they are from Western Sydney. They're very close to me, actually, in terms of their location. They're one of the bands that actually went and seen down in Canberra. Now, this break that I've had from work has been good. I've been able to basically go out every weekend, check out gigs and all of that sort of stuff. And that's what I've done. Every weekend, with the exception of the Christmas weekend, I've been out at a minimum every Friday night, every Saturday night, and sometimes every, not every Thursday or Sunday, but on occasion. And so, you know, it's been good to get out and all that sort of stuff. You know, I don't see the need to do it now because, the summer that I wanted to do it for has gone. And now we're coming up into autumn and into winter, and hopefully I'll be going back to work. There'll be more information about that at the end of the episode, hopefully. But yeah, NASJAP are one of the bands that I've seen. They launched their album in Canberra the night that I was there. They were one of the reasons I went to Canberra. Of course, if you already listened to IRC FM, IRC FM Australia, and also IRC FM Metal Monday, you'll know this already. But NASJAP, they're a cool band. They're not really like a hardcore metal band. In some ways they're melodic. Also in some ways called them nerdcore as well. So what I'm going to do in a moment is go back and let you listen to track one. It's called 8-Bit Superhero, and this song really does sum up NASJAP quite well when it comes down to it. It's just amazing the amount of talent that we've got in the local scene and the amount of music that I've got access to. Thank you. that was 8-Bit Superhero from not another sequel, just another prequel. NASJAP, some of the many great bands that I've featured on IRC FM. So yeah, things are going great. Things will be even better once I get rid of this man flu, but that's just a matter of continuing the decongestants that I've been taking and going from there. So I'm just about at the sleep clinic. So today is actually a bit different in terms of this episode because, as long-time listeners will know, lately I've been putting out ERCpod basically when I feel like it, rather than on a weekly schedule like the rest of the shows. But I've said that if I've got something to say, I'll say it, and I'll put it out on a Thursday. And when I put out an episode, I put it out at 8 a.m. Thursday, or any episode, 8 a.m. of the day of release, Sydney time. And so while it's not going to be at 8 a.m. Thursday this week because it's already passed, it will still be on Thursday. It'll just be a bit later on Thursday. And so instead of me holding this back until next week, instead of me holding this back until next week, I've decided that, you know, it's just going to be a little bit late. And we'll sort of go from there. When am I going to put out another episode? Oh, well, that's a matter of, when I decide to put one out. I've decided, and the long-term listeners know this, that I'm not going to put out an episode just for the sake of it. When can I expect to go back to work? That'll probably be the next question. And one that I might be able to find out the answer to this afternoon. I might be able to find that out this afternoon. I hope so. I hope you'll give me a straight answer. Based on the figures that I've seen, I should be able to go back to work. It's just a matter of the doctor, he has to give me a clearance to go back to work. And so that has to go to the health provider, the original health provider. And then that goes to my human resources people. Then that goes to my management, and then that goes to me. So it took them a week from the time of my diagnosis to the time that they actually said, no, dude, you can't drive a train anymore. It took them a week. And so if it took them a week for them to take me off the road with a medical condition, I dare say that it's going to take me at least 2 weeks to get back on the road, maybe more. You know, I don't know how much of a hurry they will be to get me back on the road, considering that they were pretty slow because of the amount of paperwork that has to go through. You know, the doctor has to write his report, then he has to send it off to the original healthcare provider, then they have to translate that and translate it into English for human resources. And then human resources have to change it from human resources speak into my speak so they can say, hey, you can't drive a train. So might be able to tell you a bit more about that very, very shortly. So here's some more NASJAP, track 3 off the album, and hopefully we'll be back with some good news after this. In the That was part of Zaz's jab back shortly.
Oh, well, that was a fuck-up. I've arrived at the sleep clinic. I was a bit late because of the traffic. And I get there and the receptionist says to me, "Oh, I thought you were getting your download of your machine done. That's why you're late." And I says, "Well, I've done the download at home. You know, the machine's here. I've got the machine in my hand. I've got the memory card in the machine. The doctor should be able to read off that." And they say, "Oh, no, you have to go around the corner to this sleep place." Sleep advisory and sales services, they're called. You're going to walk around the corner to them, get a download for your machine at the cost of $25, and then come back and see it so we can get the results. And I'm like, "Hang on, but I've got the memory card here. I've got the reports on the memory card, and it's also saved as a PDF. You should be able to just print that out and say, 'Hey, doc, here's the results.'" And they go, "Oh, no, we can't do that here. We don't have that facility." But it's a doctor's surgery. If they knew how simple it was to print out a PDF, I wouldn't be $25 out of pocket. Now, she said, the receptionist said to me, "Oh, are you prepared to pay the $25? And I says, "Well, I don't have much of a choice, do I? So, you know, I have to pay it. I don't have much choice." But she says, "Oh, someone rang you yesterday and said, you know, that you were okay to get the, you know, all the stats of that done." But I'm like, "Well, no one explained to me that I had to go to a place and get it downloaded if I can do it myself." So, yeah, here's the place. When I get back, I'm going to have to move the car, I think, because the peak hour parking restrictions kick in. So, here we are.
I had
absolutely no idea I needed it done because I'd already done it at home and everything. But
oh, you didn't bring it in with you?
No, I wasn't. I didn't know any different. I've got
do
it.
Do you
all.
Do your own downloads at home?
I do.
You?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, good on you. All right, I'll come back here in for the first time.
No worries. Well, I'm back. 6 pages, or they would have been 6 pages if it was single-sided, 3 double-sided pages, which basically summarises what I've been doing. And Kate there that you heard, she was awesome. She actually didn't charge me the $25, which was great. She says to me, "Oh, you can, you know, print this yourself." But of course, I don't have a printer at home. So she says, "Dude, you're doing awesome." So hopefully the doctor will be as pleased as what she was. She said, "Yeah, I've had a couple of moments there. But overall, it's pretty good." So let's hope that the sleep doctor agrees with me. So I've got about 20 minutes, I suppose, before I have to leave the car. Hopefully it won't be that long. There's basically nobody in the surgery. I might just move the car anyway, just to be on the safe side. They do have parking around the back, so I'll take advantage of it. Now that was rather cool. I wasn't trying to sweet talk her or anything like that. Having said that, I'm glad I didn't have to pay the $25. Hopefully this will be the only time that I have to get this done anytime soon. If I had to pay the $25, I had to pay the $25, but you know, when they don't tell you these things, you know, this is why they give you the program to go with the machine, so you can actually do it yourself. You know, they say that they want you to keep an eye on your own progress, and so that's what I've been doing. And I'm thinking, well, you know, the doctor should be able to just pop the card in, pull out the report for what period he wants, and then Bob's your uncle. But obviously not. More sirens, more EMAs. Hopefully I'll be back with some good news in a minute, dudes. Beautiful day. Welcome back to episode 359 of EarthPod. And dudes and dudettes, I have some good news to report for you when I complete this reversing maneuver. I have some great news. I've just actually seen, this is quite ironic, I've actually just seen the sleep specialist. I've actually just seen the sleep specialist that I was supposed to see originally, I think. And after waiting for an hour past my appointment time, partly because I was late and partly because I had to go and get the download that I didn't know that I needed, I got in and seen him, and this guy that I just saw totally different to the totally different to the guy that I usually have been seeing. And let's be honest, I'm not going to these guys because of loyalty, because, you know, they diagnosed me or anything like that. I'm going to them because it's easier to follow up continuity of care and all of that sort of stuff. It's just a lot easier that way. And so he had a look back through my, because he actually hadn't seen me before. He went through the whole history, and on one of the reports that I haven't seen, they actually had me down as a crane driver rather than a train driver. He was wondering why he'd be seeing me if I was a crane driver.
But once I explained it to him that I was actually a train driver, oh, hello, he sort of understood that a bit better because pretty obvious reasons. So he said that overall, looking at the results that he has in front of him and compared to the results that I originally had, I am clear to go back to work. Obviously, I just can't ring up my employer and say, hey dudes, guess what, I'm back. Give me a train to drive tomorrow. It's not going to work like that. You know, there's paperwork that has to be done. And so what will happen now is that he'll put in a report to my place of employment. That will go to the health provider first of all, as I basically explained before. They'll write the report, they'll send it off, and then someone will contact me and tell me when it's okay to go back to work. Now it's Thursday today, and of course it's the afternoon, so nothing's going to happen this afternoon anyway. You know, it's 4:15 in the afternoon, just before a public holiday, nothing's going to happen. So I've got the long weekend, so the earliest that anything will get done will be on Tuesday. He says that gets faxed across to the that gets faxed across to health services, so they obviously read it and then send it off to human resources, who then notify me. Now, remember before I was saying that the guy that I was originally seeing, he would be very non-committal. His response would be, I'll just wait and see, you know, your workplace will contact you when they tell you what you need to know. Whereas this guy, he says, as far as I'm concerned, you are clear to go back to work. You know, just keep on using the machine. Normally he would see me in 2 years' time, but because of my job and because of their requirements, they'll probably want to see me in 12 months. So, that dude's is that it'll probably be at the absolute minimum, considering that next week's a short week as well, probably the end of next week before I hear anything else. Do I really want to go through Auburn this time of the afternoon? I don't think so. Might go a slightly scenic way home. It's the start of the afternoon peak hour. And so, you know, I was a little bit later than I thought I would be. I made the appointment for 2:40. I didn't get in there till about just after 3:40. So it was lucky that I moved the car, because I would have been well and truly over time for the parking restrictions. So overall, I'm really happy. He's had a look at the data on my machine. He goes, you're all good. I basically knew that anyway, but there's a difference from me looking at it with the untrained eye. He's the sleep specialist. He's the one who can decide yay or nay. And so he said, yeah, you can go back to work, so that is all good. So just a matter of time of just waiting now and waiting for them to say, hey dude, you can come back. When I come back is, is now up to them. What I will have to do, basically as a train driver here in Sydney, it is up to, what I have to do is keep what they call my road knowledge up to date. So going down, up and down each track, I have to go up and down each track, once in each direction, every 12 months as an absolute minimum. to keep my qualifications up to date. Now, I haven't been off for 12 months. I was off mid-November, and it's now... It'll basically be mid to late April when I come back. So, that's December, January, February, March, April. So that's like 5 months I've had off. Which is okay. Which is great in that respect. But in terms of keeping my qualifications up, I haven't lost any qualifications in the normal area in which I drive. Where I would lose qualifications would be for areas where I normally don't drive. And so when I get back, what I'm going to say to them, and they already know because I've already told them, that anywhere in my normal area of operations I'll be fine. pardon me. I will need a refresher on the East Hills line because they've been doing a lot of construction along there. They're putting in two extra tracks. So there have been changes to the configuration out there. So I will need a refresher for that. And plus, every time I've been going in there to fill in timesheets or whatever, I have been reading the various bits of safety critical documentation. So it's just going to be like a quick reset and then go from there. I'm going to have a drink. I need one, but in the meantime, I've got a little bit to tell you after I come back. We're going to come back. You wouldn't expect a metal band to come up with a version of a song called What Is Love, but this is exactly what NASJAP have done, and I'll be back. that was NASJAP, not another sequel, just another prequel, with their version of What Is Love, you might recognise the song. And I don't usually play songs that I know that are cover versions, because I know even if the band does give me permission, it can be somewhat of a grey area. But having said that, I love it when bands do a cover version and they totally own that song. They totally own it in terms of, they're not just copying the artist that they got it from, but they make it their own. The way that they sing it, the way that they play it, the way that they perform it. That example there by NASJAP is a classic example of what I'm talking about. They own that. That is their version. AC, their vocalist, has made it their own in his style. It is in the NASJAP style. You know, it's not a carbon copy. Another classic example. I've been banging on about this song for months and saying, dudes, when are you going to release it? When are you going to release it? And Foundry Road have finally released their version of Safety Dance. Now, in case you're unfamiliar, Foundry Road, they're another Western Sydney metal act. They're more melodic. Sort of similar, you know, they're not necessarily massively screamo or core or thrash or anything like that. Once you've been exposed to them for a while, you know what they're doing, how they're singing and all of that sort of stuff. And so, when I first met those guys in October 2010, they said to me, dude, do you know a song called Safety Dance? And I'm like, no, not really. It's not a song that I'm familiar with. And so they played me the original version, which actually is by Men Without Hats. They're a Canadian band. And then they've metalled it up. And so they've performed it live on a few occasions, dedicated it to me. I love the song. Which is very strange, because it's not a song that I'd actually have heard before. And to hear the sort of poppy, dancey sort of song that it is, and to hear it metalled up, is very interesting. Now, they've been talking for ages and ages and ages of releasing it. Before I went to Europe, they were performing it at basically every show, and then they've stopped, as almost as if they've got sick of the song. And so they've been doing some new songs in addition to their songs from their debut album, Blood of Isolation. And so they've been doing new songs like Derail, which is absolutely awesome. That song's about a person on his everyday trip to and from work on the train, and he thinks it's not a good trip, that sort of thing. It wasn't written about me. You know, there's other ones like Mechanical Mind and Into the Filter, and they were talking about releasing a track, and so I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be one of these new ones. And then April Fool's Day comes along, and they're like, here's our new song. And so I went and listened to it, and I'm thinking, oh, this is just going to lead us to a page and say, ha ha, fooled you, you know, stay tuned for Into the Filter or whatever. Because April Fool's Day last year, Foundry Road told everyone that they were breaking up. You know, some April Fool's Day jokes were very lame. Like, you'd have some people come out, oh, I'm getting married, or I'm pregnant, or whatever. Lab 64 probably pulled one of the best ones, saying that he was going to put one of his guitars up for auction to raise money for a new album. And people were spreading that like mad, and then he comes back and like, dude, it's April Fool's Day, you can stop sharing the joke now. So that was one of the few good ones that actually happened, but with the exception, of course, of Foundry Road actually releasing as a free download Safety Dance. And when you think about it, April Fool's Day is a perfect day to release that song. And that's another great song in terms of covers. my buddies at Motives, they've done the same thing with, oh, there's a train. I normally don't come this way, so seeing a train coming into that station from the outside, rather interesting. And Motives did it with their John Farnham cover, You're the Voice, their version, they've made that their own. At their album launch in February, they did a version of Karma Police by Radiohead. And they actually did it acoustically with Michael, their vocalist, and Rose, their guitarist, with an acoustic guitar. You know, a Motus, another melodic metal band, and they've made that version their own. Not in their style, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And so I actually went out, you know, I know of Radiohead, I know some of their songs, I don't hate them or anything, but they're not necessarily one of my favourite artists. And so when I heard that song, I actually went out on iTunes and I purchased that song. So who's to say that A, people aren't buying music, people aren't buying music by people who aren't, you know, quote-unquote world famous. If it wasn't for Motus doing that song, well, I wouldn't have brought Karma Police by Radiohead. And it's not necessarily making me think, oh, what else have Radiohead done, although that's, you know, that's a possibility. I've just got so much music coming into me at the moment, and there's more music that I could go and chase as well. Like, for instance, on the metal scene, there's so many different, like, metal groups or pages that I'm associated with. If I was to chase every one of them, every one of those bands that come across my screen and like, dude, can you play my music? I'd have no problem filling in shows. I've got so much music coming in. I've got music stockpiled, and it's just a matter of getting to it. And I think I'll be doing, now that I know that pretty soon I'll be going back to work, I'll be able to go into my stockpile. I think that's what I'm going to spend the weekend doing, because I don't feel like going out this weekend. I've been out every weekend over summer. I want to get over the man flu. Because the doctor hadn't met me before, he thought that this is how I always sounded. And I'm like, nah, dude, this is how I sound today is totally unrelated to my sleeping condition. You know, I've just got the man flu. And he's like, what? Yeah, so I've got man flu. So, yeah, that's rather cool. So happy to... I'm really grateful for the time that I've had off, and I've been able to do so much and see so much over the summer. You know, with this... And I've done a lot around the house too, and in the garden and that sort of stuff. So I'm really glad, though, to be going back to work, because this is what I do. Like, yes, I do podcasting, and I love it and I enjoy it. But train driving, that pays the bills. Pardon me. Oh, no, we're not going to start this shit, are we? Yeah, train driving pays the bills. So I want to be able to go back to it. And in some ways now, I'm in a really good situation. Because I basically had this 5 months off, it might be close to 6 months by the time I actually get back. I haven't used any of my sick leave or any of my holiday leave or anything for this year. So that'll go into the bank account, or the, you know, that'll go into the kitty. And then I can say to her when I get back, okay, I don't want to have holidays this year. You know, I've been off for, you know, 4 months of this year. Can I keep them in the bank and I'll do an extended holiday next year? You know, there's so many places that I want to go back to after last year's trip. I'd love to go back to London and the UK and do some more of that. I'd love to do the Edinburgh Festival. I'd love to go back to Japan. And I'd love to be able to go back to Mexico, or go to Mexico. And I'd also love to go back to the States. You know, I have to build my kitty up. You know, I have saved some money, but actually not working because, you know, I'm not driving 80 k's a day, although I might do a bit of driving on the weekend, so I may even out a little bit. But, I have saved some money in that respect, and plus eating at home instead of eating out at work and all of that sort of stuff. You know, I've had fun while I've been away. I've seen a lot of live music, a lot of epic stuff's happened, and that sort of stuff, but I'm really looking forward to getting back into things. While I've been off, I've been watching a lot of TV. I'm actually a little bit behind on some of my podcast listening. I have set shows that I listen to first when they come out, and then the others go back into the queue. Even some of my own shows are into the queue because I'd listen to them as I was recording them because of the way I do the music shows. But since January, I've had Foxtel IQ, which is basically being able to digitally record the cable TV. And some of the shows that I've seen on there, I might be a bit late to the party on some of them, but oh my god, there's just some amazing TV out there, especially in the documentaries and the reality type things. Now to me, watching a show like Survivor or Big Brother, which by the way is coming back to Australia, or whatever, that's not reality TV. Reality TV to me are those shows that, like Cops, where you grab a camera. I want to pull in a Red Rooster. Where you go in and you ride along with the guys, you know, whatever, and ride with them. That to me is reality. It's not reality to make your own reality, if you know what I mean. That probably doesn't make any sense. Hi, can I please have a classic half?
Would you like a drink with that?
No, thank you.
Any salads or dessert?
No, thank you.
$9.95 for no.
The drive-thru. Thanks. She doesn't know me if she's asked me, do I want salads? That's funny. Hello.
How are you tonight?
Oh, not bad, thanks. How are you?
Nice.
Yeah, it would be good for a change, wouldn't it?
It would be. We'd have an actually fine weekend.
Awesome. She's very talking. Yeah, so reality TV is not the sort of one that you create. So, when I get my chicken, I'll tell you some of the stuff that I've been watching. When it comes to the actual show Cops, to me, that's past its use-by date. A lot of the stuff that I'm watching now is based on the show Cops, but it hasn't changed with the times, where I'm more into the cop shows now, where you're with the same sort of people every day, the same sort of location or whatever, and you're supporting the cops. You know, and you get to know them as humans rather than, oh, we're going to be with this guy from the Portland PD for 5 minutes, and then we're going to go over to the San Francisco PD, and then we're going to go over to the NYPD, and you know, spend 5 minutes with them, and who cares? It's just like great background stuff if you want to play a drinking game, but you want to, I want to know them. I wanted to be able to think, okay, that's so-and-so or that's so-and-so. You know, what are they going to do this week? And undoubtedly, some of them play up for the camera, there's no doubt about it. And that's one of the good things as well. Like, I was watching one today, Police Interceptors. They're currently based, the series that I'm watching is based in South Yorkshire, around where Caroline and Dave from the Bunkcast live. And I was there last year, and so I'm looking around for like local landmarks. Do I see them in the street? You know, whatever. And they were talking to one of the female cops on, they're basically highway patrol. And so they were talking to one of the female cops, and they said, well, what sort of questions do you get asked by the public? And she says, oh, some guy asked me if I was allowed to put the knee doors on, you know, the sirens. And there was another instance where she's in a car by herself and she's pulled over a driver. And then she's asked if someone is going to come and pick her up to allow her to go on to the next job, because they couldn't believe that she pulled them over all by herself. You know, there are some people like that around.
Thank you.
You too. So yeah. You know, so Police Interceptors, that is an awesome one. I'm loving the police women of Brewood County, and also the one that was on before that. The police women of Dallas, that's awesome. What else am I watching? I'm watching Ice Road Truckers. Now I know that's been out for a while. I'm actually watching I'm watching Series 3 and Series 5 together at the moment. And also IRT Deadliest Roads. Police Interceptors, as I mentioned. Air Crash Investigation. And some of the shows on the Lifestyle Channel, like Selling Houses Australia. Who would have thought that a woman talking about paint would be so interesting? And, like, interior design and, like, seeing an ordinary house, like looking at across the road from where I am, and then updating it and renovating it and then selling it would be so interesting. Anywho, hope you've enjoyed the episode. I'm going to eat some chicken and then negotiate the peak hour traffic home. I've been Irk. Email me irkpod@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the show notes or interact with me on the social networks. Information is on the website at channelirk.com. Until next time, I'm Irk. Thanks for listening. Thanks, NASJAP, and good night, Twitter.